Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Yes, indeed, this is Carl McIntyre, and here's Dr. Charles E. Richter. And as goes the church, so goes the nation. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, Exodus 23:2. And then I'm giving you away a packet. I would say it was the most important packet that I've ever presented to you so far as communist agitation inside of the United States is concerned. I'm giving you some documented and factual reporting here that's utterly fantastic as to the way in which the communists are operating and the way in which they are endeavoring to use the civil rights movement. I'll give you some material this morning that I'm sure will be astounding. But ladies and gentlemen, may I tell you, the communists intend to destroy the United States. The communists intend to destroy the United States. I hope we can get this idea across to enough people with the help of a great many others to help save the United States from the communist conspiracy at the present time. Now a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word, that it is a comfort to us, that it is our guide, that we're seeking at all times to do the things which Thou wouldst have us to do. And oh, how we praise Thee that we do have the privilege of standing up for the Word, standing in the gap, of counting everything we have lost that we might maintain the righteousness of our God. Now bless this ministry. Be with everybody everywhere across the land and around the world as they listen. And especially do we pray that Thou give us the backing and the support and the financial undergirding which this ministry needs from the people of God everywhere. These things we pray and we ask now in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, since I've been giving you this theme text of the ICC's coming World Assembly in Switzerland in August 5 to 11, John 14:6, I've been expanding the teaching of the Bible as it relates to this matter of truth. Jesus Christ said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I pointed out to you that Jesus Christ said He is the truth and He is all the truth. Then I explained to you that our Savior identified the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. And then we took a step further and we saw that our Savior spoke of the Holy Spirit as being the Spirit of truth. Now I'd like to tie the two of them together for you in this broadcast in a very interesting way and perhaps give some of you people some information about why we believe the Bible to be the infallible and the inerrant Word of God, that is the Old Testament and the New Testament. And to get at the heart of this, I want to say that Jesus Christ, who gave us this wonderful text, is the head of the church. And it's the purpose of the church to listen to Him, to follow His commandments, to order its activities in accordance with His will, as this will is made known to us in the Holy Scripture. In other words, the church has one function, and that is to present the Word of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's always been an argument among some people as to whether the church came before the Scriptures or the Scriptures came before the church. Well, the truth is that the Holy Scriptures were given first, and the church comes out of the Bible, not the Bible out of the church. And when I give you this, I want you to notice now how the Lord Jesus Christ uses Himself, His authority, His place as the truth in relationship to the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament we accept as the Word of God on the authority of Jesus Christ. He put His hand on the Old Testament scroll and He said, the Scriptures can't be broken. It is they which testify of Me. The church has always accepted the Old Testament on the authority of the head of the church, the Son of God. Now when it comes to the New Testament, of course the New Testament was not written at the time that Jesus was here on the earth. But the church has accepted the New Testament on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave to His disciples in these parting moments certain promises in which He referred specifically to the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost. And He outlined the ministry of the Holy Ghost in bringing to His disciples and to His people the truth, which is now the New Testament. Now we were told by the apostles that holy men of God spake in time past by the Holy Ghost, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the Old Testament was given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And since He is the Spirit of truth, the Old Testament is the truth, and we accept it as such.
Amen.
Now the New Testament has also been given to us by the Spirit of God and on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn now to these three passages. I'm going to take a little extra time in this broadcast because I'm going to educate some of you people as to why those of us who are called fundamentalists accept the Bible as the Word of God, including the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now in the 14th chapter of John, which we have before us, down in the 26th verse, we read, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, beloved, here our Savior was with His disciples in an earthly ministry talking to them. He never wrote anything except in the sand on one short, just a few little short lines, whatever they may have been. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Now the Spirit of truth, who is not in any way connected with error, He is going to bring back to your remembrance the things which I said unto you." And here we have the Gospel of Matthew, and the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John. These Gospels report, in fact they give direct quotations. The Sermon on the Mount, for example. The 14th chapter of John, the great intercessory prayer which Jesus offered in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Spirit of God brought this back to the remembrance of the disciples in accordance with the promise which the Lord Jesus Christ gave to His disciples. And here it is. So there you have the Gospels in the promise that God gave as a part of the ministry of the Spirit of truth. Now you turn over to the next chapter, if you will, into the 15th chapter, and you come down again to the 26th verse. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes another reference to the Spirit of truth. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me, and ye shall bear witness." Now, beloved, the book of Acts is the account of the testimony of the Spirit of God bearing witness through His disciples in the establishment of the New Testament church. And the book of Acts has frequently been called the Acts of the Holy Ghost. But here is the ministry of the Holy Ghost immediately after the departure of the Lord Jesus Christ, unfolding the work and the foundation and the expansion of the church of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what the Almighty God promised us, as the Lord Jesus Christ said the Spirit of truth would testify of Him. And He did it, and we have the record of it in the book of Acts.
Amen.
Now will you turn with me over to the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And in this 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John, we have a long section here concerning the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But notice verse 13. "Howbeit when He is come, the Spirit of truth." Now you notice, in each one of these references, the Savior uses the phrase, "the Spirit of truth." When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Well, now here you have the epistles. Here you have the further expounding of the significance of the coming of Christ and His death and all that's involved in it in great detail. "He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak." And here were the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ being guided by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and this is what the apostles gave unto us in the epistles which we have in the New Testament. And then notice that next phrase, "and He will show you" what? What is it, Charlie?
"He will show you things to come."
Things to come. So here's the predictive prophecy, the ministry of the Spirit of God in revealing the truth to us concerning the latter days and concerning the coming of Christ and concerning the apostasy in the end time and all of these things. And beloved, you find this ministry of the Holy Spirit in revealing things to come through the ministry of the apostles. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. You find this in the book of Revelation. So here in these three statements in which Jesus Christ refers to the Spirit of truth, He has outlined the ministry of the Spirit of God in giving us the gospel record. He has outlined the ministry of the Spirit of God in giving to us the book of Acts. He has outlined the ministry of the Spirit of God in giving to us the New Testament epistles. And He's outlined the ministry of the Spirit of truth in giving unto us the prophecies, including the climax of all the Bible, the book of Revelation. Now, did you ever know anything like that was in the Bible so clear and so plainly? Well, there it is. And it came from the lips of whom? The head of the church.
Amen.
It came from the lips of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the basis of this clear teaching from inside of the Bible, you see, the Bible carries its own credentials, its own certification, and we accept it upon the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen.
And the Spirit of truth has not given us a book that's filled with error and myths. The Spirit of truth has given us an Old Testament, all of which was accepted by the Son of God, who Himself was the truth and is the truth. And the New Testament, the church has accepted on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe I shouldn't have taken so much time, but this is a heart of a mighty issue because the Bible's under attack today. But this is the reason the Christian church has said, now I want to give you this, apostolicity is the norm of canonicity. Now, wasn't that a jawbreaker for you? But how did the church accept the present books in the Bible? On what authority did they accept them? The answer is, first, the authority of the Son of God who promised us these things, and second, an epistle or a work had to be written by an apostle or approved by an apostle. Now, that's the norm. That's the rule that was used. Unless it was written by an apostle or approved by an apostle, it isn't in the New Testament. So here we have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ given to His disciples just before He left concerning the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth has given us the New Testament, and the New Testament is true, and I preach it as the Word of God.
Amen.
The Spirit of God has given to us the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is true, and we preach it as the testimony of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has given unto us the epistles of the apostles, and we accept it on the authority of the apostles themselves, who bore testimony to the ministry of the Spirit in their activity. And finally, we accept the book of Revelation, because it is a fulfillment of what the Lord Jesus Christ said the Spirit would finally give to us, the things to come. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there isn't any higher criticism. There aren't any critics or scholars in this world that are able to set aside this kind of teaching from the lips of the Son of God Amen. Who was raised from the dead.
Amen.
Beloved, you can believe the Bible. It is the Word of God. And furthermore, this book is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. All you need is this book, and I want you people, when you listen to Dr. Carl McIntyre, to go back and read this Bible and to hide its treasure in your heart. I want you to learn the sound doctrine that's in this Bible, and especially the doctrine concerning the plenary and the verbal inspiration of the Holy Scripture.
Yes.
So that we can believe that God is true, that the Son of God is the truth, and that the Spirit of truth has come as Jesus Christ said, and He's given unto us a record and a book which the church can stand on, and the church can take the message of this book and arise in its pulpits and say, Thus saith the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I kind of got tired this morning. Maybe some of you folks will enjoy it. A little deeper exposition. I've taken the time for it. But I want you to understand that if you just read the Bible, it carries its own internal evidence, its own internal witness by the Spirit of God. And standing over this book, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And our trouble today is that Jesus Christ has been downgraded, and they don't believe He was made of a virgin, born of a virgin, and They think he became some kind of a social reformer, and he's out here, a young revolutionist, leading these civil rights demonstrators. He is nothing of the kind. Our Savior is a Redeemer who shed His blood for our sins, and He gives us a new birth, a new creation by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we go out as free men to serve Him. And if we could get this country back to God where it ought to be, we wouldn't need any civil rights legislation in this country.
Amen.
And I'm giving you this from the Word of God. I stand for what the Christian church has stood for 2,000 years. That's what I stand for.
Amen.
And I've given you, even in this broadcast, the reasons why the church has accepted the Bible to be the ministry and the work of the Spirit of truth. Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the standards of morality and righteousness. Let's have churches that are filled with people who understand what the Christian faith is and the kind of churches that the Bible requires that we maintain at great vigilance and at great sacrifice. Charlie, I can't say anything more. I'm just about out.
Yes.
I'm just about out.
Well, I praise God.
God bless you folks. Will you write me today for this packet? Martin Luther King's Program for Revolution. I want to outline it for you. And I want you to see how it dovetails with this program of the communists as they're outlining it for us.
Right.
Somebody send me $1,000,000. Will you please get in behind us and back the broadcast? I need your prayers. I need your gifts. I need your support. I need 1,000 radio stations.
Amen.
God is with us, and let's stand up for the honor of His name together. That's all today.